Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast. Osiris.
What's going on, people? It's Karina Reichman coming at you from Burlington, Vermont, and I am joined by telephonic airwaves by my main man, Isaac Sloan. Isaac, what it is and what it do, and hi, how are you? What's going on?
How are you, Karina? I saw you last Friday at Lark Hall in Albany, which was an astonishing show, and I was just thinking about how you've lived like 17 different lives since then, and so it's great for me to hear from you about what's been going down, and also for our listeners who I guess went a week without an Inappropriate Happiness episode. I'm glad to be back. What is going on,
dude? I mean, hi, and thank you, Inappropriate Happiness listeners, for understanding that last week. Like, you know, it's always the it's the taking off to get on the road, like all the preparation that goes into it, that's strenuous to me. And once your wheels up and rolling, it just, you know, it sort of is a well-oiled machine at that point. But like, I don't know, I get wildly stressed out when it's my own thing that I have to like pack for and prepare for. And there's so much going on last week that like, you know, the anticipatory sort of like, where's the merch and where are all my instruments and where are my pedals and what clothes and where's the van and who's going to pick it up and what's the, you know, it's just like a million moving parts, not to mention like I was doing 100 interviews like an idiot and just doing, I don't know, it felt like too much. So I appreciate the Inappropriate Happiness listeners for, their grace in, you know, understanding that we needed to take the week off. But here I am. I'm here now in Burlington, Vermont at, you know, I'm in Mike Gordon's guest house where we've had the pleasure of being for the last 3 days, which, you know, my band has stayed in most times that we've played Burlington and also with Marco's band and whatever. And it's just so, so beautiful up here and wonderful. And yeah, I mean, since you saw me in Albany, Isaac, we played, what I would consider to be, you know, 100% like top three shows I've ever played in my life at Nectar's, you know, the storied Nectar's, where it all began, as they say, up here in Burlington, which is a wonderful club. This was my third time playing the club, first being with the Sound of Urchin in 2012, second being with my own band in 2019, and third being with my own band here in 2022. And it was one of those nights that, like, you know, even though we have incredible video and audio documentation, it feels like you'll never be able to capture like just the vibe in there again. And I'd love to be proven wrong because I really liked the vibe in there. But it was a special, special evening on all counts, you know, including the fact that, Mike sat in with us for my song City Kids, which was great. And, you know, since the show went on sale, basically, we've been sort of co-conspiring about, like, what he, you know, he, like, what to wear, what's the gag, what do we do, all these things. And we decided we would both wear white and that, you know, I would have my wireless bass so that in the middle of a jam, we didn't know what song yet, but I would run off the stage and then he would replace me wearing whatever outfit we decided on. We decided on all white, right? And I would just be off stage sort of watching him jam with my two boys, you know, Adam November and Chris Corsico, and let that go on for however long. And then I would come back and rejoin the festivities, if you will. And that's exactly, gotta say, I love when a good plan comes together because that's exactly what we did.
Well, and it also led to a jam. You know, I know it's now the full thing is on YouTube for those interested in checking it out, a nice pro shot video. And it led to a jam with all of these sort of different components. You know, there's the song and then the kind of improv that you and Chris and Adam start. And then there's this segment of Mike with Chris and Adam doing this like trio jam. And then there's a dueling bass jam at the end. And that's, I mean, it's just... and there's the gag elements. I mean, this, you know, as you said, you thought it through a lot, and then it also just kind of looked effortless once you were on stage together. It's really, it's congratulations. This is very cool.
Thanks, pal. Yeah, no, it felt sort of triumphant in the sense of like, wow, like we kind of thought about this. And by the way, we didn't know what tune it was going to be until this week. And I was just like, I think it's got to be City Kids. I also, for the record, on Friday in Pembroke, Massachusetts, we had the great pleasure of welcoming a 10-year-old bass phenom, a girl named Ruby Golden Tiger, to the stage. And I thought it would only be appropriate that she played on my song City Kids as well. So basically having these two bass sit-ins on this one tune that's so heavily, I mean, most of my tunes are pretty heavily bass-oriented, let's not lie, but this one... especially the jam, you know, is so, you know, bass centric in a way that I think is both easy and compelling for people to sit on and like sit in on rather. And it's, I don't know, I just think it lends itself well to that format. And so it was really great to have like Friday night, 10-year-old up and comer. And Saturday night, you know, a guy who's a little bit older and with a lot more experience. And, you know, he could just take the reins there. And yeah, it was really, really cool. I agree. The jam went through many different sort of moments, as you're saying, like, you know, and then even when it was the four of us, meaning my two bandmates, Chris and Adam, plus Mike, plus me, you know, there were these moments where I would go over and like enact all my crazy pedals, my whammy and my H9 and all these things in order to make sort of these pads and these sort of textures for him to really bass out over, you know, and then I would stop doing that. And then there would be these moments of counterpoint and these moments where, you know, I thought it was fun. I started playing this high up line that then he started harmonizing in every position, every scale degree, you know, stuff like that, where you're just like, wow, all right, this is awesome. And, you know, normally that jam is, you know, pretty much a four on the floor vibe the whole time. But this got taken through many different sort of half times and double times and you know, a lot sort of changed and morphed over those 13 minutes. So I'm really glad it got filmed, and I'd, you know, be remiss to not shout out. Actually, this is a good story. I have to say this because nobody's going to know this unless I get it out there. But, you know, first of all, you know, my two documentarians from Brooklyn, New York, you know, decided to take the trek up to Burlington to pro shoot this show. And so that's Charlie Chalkin and Jason Steinberg, my guys. And thank God they did, because I'm really, really glad that this got captured. But they're up there. And so here's what went down. The channel. So, you know, for people who don't understand audio, I'm going to do this as simply as possible, right? But when you're playing out of an amplifier, you know, or whatever, you know, these things get put into a channel strip, such that for the recording and for my drummer on in-ears, you know, in-ear monitors, you can hear everything, right? So even though there is sound coming out of an amp, if the channel itself isn't plugged in to a snake, a channel strip, it won't be registered by the computers or, you know, the guy with the in-ear monitors or whatever. Anyway, when Mike first came on for the entire first half of the jam, his channel somehow was not plugged in the way it was in soundcheck. And that's, you know, there was an opener, a great opener, by the way, Headgear, my dear friends from Burlington, shout out. But, you know, things can get crazy. It's nobody's fault. It's just a crazy thing that happened, basically. So for the entire first half of the jam, Chris, my drummer, could not hear Mike. And not only that, the recording of the bass, like, did not show up in the multi-track file. So in order to rescue the first half of this recording, I enlisted my very, very close partner and friend and producer, Gabe Monroe. Shout out Gabe Monroe, who literally used AI algorithms to isolate the bass from the other bleed of the other, you know, microphones and channels that were plugged in. So he says he used an isolation algorithm into spectral repair algorithm, and then a de-artifacting algorithm into an EQ into Ableton for audio beefing. Very advanced, crazy shit that went down. So, I mean, he really was able to rescue that. And that, of course, was the one track in which there's a problem. So it got rescued, and now, I mean, honestly, you know, if you look at the video, you wouldn't know, but it took a lot of repairing, and I'm just so grateful to be surrounded by a team of experts at all times.
I mean, I literally, I cannot believe what you're telling me right now. I did not know this until right now, and I'm very glad you decided to dish on all of this, because what?
Is that not crazy? It's like, that's like literally the most important thing almost. I mean, you know, it would be a calamity if my bass wasn't, you know, recording the entire time. But yeah, so like literally just the very end of the Mike's bass jam, did it actually register on the audio recording, let alone in my drummer's in-ears. And that's, I honestly, if you go back and look at the jam and figure that at least 4 minutes of that jam, maybe even five, Chris doesn't even hear what Mike is doing. It's pretty remarkable how reactive he is and how on point, and like, you just wouldn't know. But that's, these are the stories. These are the stories. Life on the road, man. Life on the road.
Amazing.
And it's, yeah.
A real quick turnaround on the video too. Like, all things considered, this happened Friday night and
Saturday night.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Pembroke on Friday. Yeah. Wow. So quick turnaround, very impressed.
Very quick. And, you know, would be remiss to say that, you know, Fish's first show at Nectar's happened, on December 1st, 1984. So this, you know, just, you know, 2 days after the anniversary of their first show, basically, which, and that gig is considered the group's first formal club show. So that's pretty cool. And I didn't really realize that, of course, until shout out Mike Greenhouse from Relics Magazine, who, you know, told me that at 2 a.m. after I got off stage, which is amazing. So that's these are the fun facts. These are the fun facts. And, you know, since then, we've been having amazing times here. And Jonathan Coleman is a spectacular bass player from Philadelphia who is in a band called Muscle Tough. Shout out Muscle Tough. And he's also friends with Mike. We're friends with him. He's open for Marco in Philly. And, you know, I've seen him play a ton. He is an absolute savant of the instrument. And yeah, he and Mike are friends. And he was up here for the gig, which was wonderful. And me and Mike and Jonathan Coleman have had just amazing bass summits after that, which have just been absolutely crazy, you know, at Mike's house, going through every stone and leaving zero unturned, if you will. It's pretty crazy, both effects wise and, like, you know, they're teaching me diminished arpeggios and just the craziest shit. I'm like, wow, this is really helping your girl out. So you know, very, very lucky and fortunate to learn from some of the best on the planet at all times. And it's been really great. We've been having really great bass jams. Adam, my guitar player, has been playing Mike in chess, losing, but doing a great job nonetheless. And it's been a wonderful few days off. And here we are. We're now going today. We're recording this on a Wednesday, so by the time it reaches your ears, this will be the past. But we are going to Portsmouth, New Hampshire this evening, where there is a low ticket warning. So hopefully there will be a sellout next time you hear from me. Anyway, and then same goes for Portland, Maine on Thursday. We got a low ticket warning. We are good to go. We're playing Sun Tiki Studios. I'm so excited. And it's an absolute miracle and blessing that people are coming to these shows. And I'm absolutely flabbergasted at the support we've received so far. And then after that, Bridgeport, Connecticut on Friday, which is Park City Music Hall. And then the following, we cap it all off on Saturday at the Pearl Street Music Hall, or rather Pearl Street Warehouse, that's what they call it, in Washington, D.C., which is a great room. I've had the pleasure of playing with Marco several times, and I cannot wait to be there. And then we put a bow on this thing, Isaac. Then we, maybe can relax for 2 seconds, and it's gonna be great. But I'd be remiss if I didn't. I need to shout out the owners of Nectar's new ownership. We got Ed Mayer, Matt Kalinske, wonderful dudes. Took me out to lunch the next day. Said it was one of the greatest. Well, they said it was the greatest, but who's to say? Anyway, they loved the show. Said it was the best thing that they've had since switching, or rather, since getting the club is what I'm trying to say, which I'm so just thrilled. And everybody was so happy and so stoked. And I mean, not to make the whole episode about this, but shit, guys, this was some fucking crazy ass shit. I cannot even wrap my head around it. I feel like I'll never wrap my head around it, but maybe in a couple weeks, I'll be like, oh my God, I wrapped my head around it.
Well, I guess the working title for this podcast was actually Karina's Modern Life. And it feels like a week where that is a particularly apt title.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's pretty far out. It's one of those weeks for sure. And of course, here we've had 3 wonderful days off in Vermont, of course, chock full of bass summits and chess. And Mike's into this word game called The Last Word, which, by the way, Isaac, we need to buy for home, because you will love to play this game. We were just shouting over the dinner table. And it's all about, having the last word. And it's great stuff. It's a board game, if you will. But, man, it's really A-plus stuff. But yeah, to go from this to, we're leaving. Once I hit, stop on this recording, basically, we're picking right up and driving to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which we're very excited for. And the next 2 days, Isaac, it's no secret, I love seafood. And we're doing these port cities, if you will, where they have the finest seafood ever, honestly. We're going to the Jumping Jays Fish Cafe tonight. Shout out Jumping Jays. And of course, shout out the greatest restaurant in the country, Eventide, which we will be at tomorrow in Portland, Maine. And shout out the Friendly Toast as well, because the Friendly Toast is where we will be eating brunch every day. So I'm really into the restaurants we go to on tour, and these are staples. And shout out Eric Goodwin, the owner of the Friendly Toast, who always takes excellent, excellent care of us, and is coming to the show tonight with his entire staff. So thanks, Eric. Can't wait to see you. It's good times, Isaac. It is really good times out here. What the ever-loving fuck and how and yes. Yes to everything. Say yes more.
Definitely. No, I mean, it's, yeah. I guess I'm just struck thinking about how many bands are like, yeah, and we had a few days off here. It was kind of a wash, or, I don't know. I didn't really get to see this city or anything like that. And you're like, no, I have the whole crew from this restaurant coming to my show. And, it's a real kind of, surrounded by a team of experts, that kind of thing, but also sort of drawing in a kind of ethos about touring, which I know is a very rigorous thing. We talk about that some, that is very kind of all encompassing and, you know, sort of, I mean, obviously full of a lot of fun, but I think even more than just saying, oh, well, it's a, you know, it's fun, it's a good time. It's this is a real kind of moment. And I, you know, I know you said on stage at Lark Hall in Albany that next year is positioned to be a very special year for your band. And I agree. I think that's very true. And the new songs sound amazing. You know, it's incredible to me that the ethos and the friendships and all of that are, you know, continuing and growing in the process.
Thanks, pal. Thanks. I mean, it's sort of the most important, you know, if not that, then why? You know what I mean? Like, if not that, and if you're not trying to foster this sort of all-encompassing good vibe everywhere you go, you know, and bringing people into the good orbit, you know, and trying to spread some sort of, you know, ethereal joy everywhere you go, then why, well, you know, why are we out here, you know, slugging it out and doing crazy shit all the time? Like, the travel can be super draining and intense, but it's, you know, the fine people that you meet along the way and the friends and just having the good, you know, vibe in the van and us laughing like so hard. Like, I can't even, honestly, my ribs hurt from laughing so hard from playing this word game with Mike and his daughter Tessa and my band last night. Like, and then Mike went through his iPhone note basically of all of his like band names, just like fake band names that he's made up over the years. And we were in absolute stitches. Like, I can't even, it's just absolutely insane. And then here, you know, in our house, there's just like every instrument on the planet that you could play at all hours of the night. And we have been doing exactly that. It's just like so surreal. So those are the good moments. And then there are also those moments where you're just like, you know, waking up in a horrible hotel room after having driven for days with no end in sight, you know, and you know, two sides of that coin, you know, it can be really, really absolutely surreal, and it can be absolutely dreadful. And you got to take the good and you got to take the bad and make the best of all of those moments. And, you know, remember why you're doing this, which is, you know, an absolute thirst for music and a thirst to sort of spread it and share in these good moments and create these moments and pockets of sort of suspension for people, because I think that's the most important thing. I know I need it. I crave it. I know other people need it and crave it. That's why this podcast exists, because we know how badly it needs to exist, you know, and have this sort of people, you know, have really difficult lives and go through all sorts of things, and to have music be one of the things that kind of saves you, you know, and gives you that moment of, you know, you can forget or you can remember or you can do both. You know, it's an incredible thing to create these moments for people and for myself as well and for my bandmates. So very, very honored to be able to do that and continue to through both good times and bad, you know, and these have been exceptional times and I'm just grateful for all of it. It's been crazy, man. What the hell?
Well, it's incredibly true. And, you know, I noticed this morning that, you know, you and I are both on the front of fish.net today. Your set list from Nectars with the mic sit-in. And then right below it, there is something that I was a part of, the Public Philosophy Journal, which is an academic journal, published a special issue. It's the first academic journal to ever have a issue dedicated to the band Fish, and it came out of a conference that was held in Oregon, in Corvallis, Oregon, in 2019. And we published a few of these essays. You know, shout out to Stephanie Jenkins for putting in all of this hard work and the people at Public Philosophy Journal. But there are, you know, I guess 10 or so essays up now that are academic research into Fish. And I have one up there where I ask the question, how is my relationship with the band Fish one that is therapeutic? Am interested in that from a professional perspective. But also, you know, we always hear, oh, this music is like therapy to me, honey. And my kind of essay, is a stab at trying to articulate something about that. And so those are all up there to read. There's a bunch of interesting things. There's something about the vibe and how it plays a role in the overall fish experience. There is a philosophy paper. There is a paper on the discourse in online communities. There's a bunch of different things. And there's also an Ask Me Anything. So you can fill out a Google survey with questions for me, for the other authors, and we will answer them, which is really important because academic writing is very formal. You know, there's certain standards. This is a peer-reviewed thing. A bunch of different people read my essay, gave me feedback on how to make it more rigorous, and I thank them for that. And I also like talking in a more informal, less academic sense about all of these things. So send us your questions. Check it out. I'm proud of it. I think, you know, it's a dear community of people who have work that touches on academia and also really love fish. So that's a fun thing.
That's the best thing. That rules. Come on with it. I mean, you know, it's, again, so incredible that, you know, this band sort of fosters or, you know, allows for, you know, people to sort of play into it and with it in all these different ways, some more formal than others, which are anything but, you know, and it's just such a cool thing to be able to see you doing that and people like Stephanie Jenkins and all of the sort of academics that love fish and also are very passionate about academia and writing and all these things sort of come together in a way that, you know, is really interesting, I think, for academics and non-academics alike. So go to fish.net, check this shit out. That is really, really sick. And yay, we're on the front page of fish.net. Isaac, I love it. How fun.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't even know. And then got sent this link because they've already sent me questions. I already have to answer questions.
Oh, that's fantastic. That means
fantastic.
That means that's when the people are looking. They're asking questions. It's so great. Come on. We love that. No, that's good. It's true because the things, you know, when academic writing is like, you know, it's you want to kind of lob it out to the people a little bit more, right?
Oh,
like
definitely.
Sometimes because
that, you know, it's a starting
otherwise
point.
You're, yeah, absolutely. In the sense of like, because you say it's like peer reviewed, few people look, few people give their insights and whatnot, but it's cool to have, you know, folks from all over chiming in and, you know, seeing what that's all about. I think that's awesome. Amazing. Well,
thanks.
Once again, we pledge allegiance to the band. And we are ridiculous, and but it's true. I mean, shit, it without this band, I don't even know what I mean, you know. Not to get all savvy about it, and I'm not going to, but yeah, we'll leave it at that. It's an incredible blessing to be alive in the time of these guys playing music and there being so much scholarship around it. And everybody, you know, sort of interacting with it in these different ways. I am unapologetically just such a huge fan of the music and the culture that they've sort of continued to usher on into the 21st century. And it's an amazing thing to behold. So thank you, Fish. Thank you, fish.net. Well, what a beautiful thing. Isaac, I mean, shit. It's a crazy fucking episode.
Yes, it certainly is. And you got a drive to go on and a couple of rock shows to play. So I think we should wrap it up here.
That sounds good to me. And, you know, thank you all for, you know, bearing with me for last week. And thank you, RJB. I got to meet RJB in real life, Isaac.
I did, too.
How can you even believe this? This is great. RJ, why are you so good? Thank you for a wonderful time at the City Winery the Sunday before I left for tour. It was the best.
Loved meeting
you.
You
are awesome.
Genuine,
right?
Awesome person. Yes, definitely. Very
really
sincere, very cool.
Very sincere, very cool, doing awesome shit, and we're very proud to be a part of all of it. And it was a beautiful evening of music, by the way, at the City Winery. We played, it was Alex Skolnick, me, Scott Metzger, a bunch of other incredible musicians. And, you know, I really like an evening of conversation and music, you know? I think it's really fun. I would love to be a part of another one. I'm sure we'll do it again sometime, RJ. But thank you for putting us on. Our producer is Marlo Shankweiler, who is killing it out there. And, you know, Isaac, I feel real good about this. I feel great. This is a good dispatch from the road. Wonderful to wax poetic with you as always. And thanks for coming to Albany. What the fuck?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Go see Karina's band. It was really good. Show's amazing.
Four more shows.
May your evenings be full of conversation and music.
Amen. Be well, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you're from.
Osiris.
Hi, this is Henry Kay, host of the number one music history podcast, Rootsland. Come with me on a journey to Kingston, Jamaica, where we explore the world of reggae music and the untold stories of some of the genre's greatest legends. From the ghettos and tenement yards where the music was born, to the island's iconic recording studios. We are so excited to team up with Osiris Media, the leading storyteller in music, because as you'll hear, sometimes the story is the best song.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.